And we'll be there in just a minute. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, Solomon wrote, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or whether evil." You know, we want to focus on the words conclusion. Solomon said, let us hear the whole matter of things. We want to hear the conclusion. And that's really important for us today. Do you know what a conclusion is when you think about that? What is a conclusion? Well, the definition of conclusion that I found on the internet is really simple. It says it's the end or the finish of an event or process. It is a judgment or decision reached by reasoning the facts. And so when you think about God and you want to come to a conclusion in your mind, you reason the facts. Do you know how many people that we talk to, and I'm sure maybe some of you over the years, when you say, do you believe in God? And they say, no, I believe in evolution. Let me tell you what's the first question you ask when somebody says that. Explain evolution. And you know what they say? They can't. How many people are grown up believing in something that they can't even explain? And worse than that, they can't come to any conclusion about it if they have no facts. When it comes to their faith or the absence of faith in God, they can't tell you who God is. They can't tell you what the Bible says. They can't tell you what they don't believe. They just don't believe it. Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's man's all. Because when it all comes down to it, the conclusion is that God will bring every work into judgment, even the secret things, whether they're good or bad. And the other part of that is Webster, they said that the final decision in a law case. Let me tell you, this Bible is the book of the law, both the old and the new. And when you stand before Jesus, you're going to be judged by the words that are in this book. Judged by the words in this book, not by how you feel. You're not going to have a chance to tell Jesus, no, I don't believe in you, I believe in evolution. Because it's too late. It's all come to a conclusion. And the conclusion is that you're going to be sorry if you don't come to the right conclusion. Well, we want to talk about that today. Many things will come to final conclusions when you stop and think about it. Many things come to a final conclusion. You know, a woman's carrying a baby. We have two women here tonight. You know, I'm excited, just like this morning. But that's going to come to a conclusion. You know what the conclusion is? They're going to give birth. It's called birth. We can't wait for that day. And we'll rejoice. Something else, when you think about that, being a child, you're being born into the world, but being a child comes to a conclusion. You know what that conclusion is? You better grow up. You're going to have to grow up. I tell my granddaughter with a stern finger all the time, you stop growing up, and she never listens. She went from this to this to this. We all have to grow up, like it or not. Another thing when it comes to a conclusion is your job. You know what the conclusion of that is? You retire. That doesn't mean that there's other conclusions. I mean, you could get fired, right? But the right conclusion is you retire. Sadly, there are some who conclude that there is no God. You know what that is? That's being a fool. And that's what the Scripture says. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Some conclude that God is. And if we're talking about that person and they're really, truly believing that God is, that's called a believer. And every true believer will keep God's commandments. You know what that's called? That's called being spiritual. That means that you believe what's in the book. Not what you hear out there. Not what you see on TV. Not what you hear on the radio. You believe what's in the book. The Spirit of God. The hand of God. The breath of God. That's what it's all about. And now, when you think of these things, I want you to look. Let's look at the book of 2 Kings here in chapter 10. And I assume you're all there. 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. Now, when he departed from there, and he happens to be the King Jehu, when he departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart right as my heart is toward your heart?" And Jehonadab, he answered, "It is." And Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." You see that? So he gave him his hand, and he took him up and took him into the chariot. And then he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." And so they had him ride in his chariot. The question here today is, after all has been said and done, when you hear the conclusion of life, the only thing that is going to matter is your heart right with God? And I want you to picture that. It's not just Jehu who says, "Is your heart right?" God is asking that same question. And His hand is outstretched. He wants you to reach out and take His hand. He wants your heart to be right so that He can take you up, spiritually speaking, in that chariot. And He can guide you along the way until the day comes when you see Him face to face. Is your heart right with God? You know, like Jehonadab, we must grasp that mighty hand of the Almighty God. Never let go. Never let go. We want to be trusting in that hand. We want to believe in that, the power of God's hand. There's a song, song number 312 in your hymnals. You know, if you look at that song, the title of that song is going to sound really familiar to you. Hold to God's unchanging hand. How many times have we sung that beautiful, beautiful song? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Life is filled with swift transition, right? And when you look at that song, "Not of earth, unmoved can stand." It doesn't matter what moves or happens on this earth. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And that's what we want to do. And we want to know how to do that. That song goes on to talk about how we need to trust Him. And that He won't leave you. You just hold on to His hand. That song says you don't covet the things of this world. They're going to be nothing. They're going to decay. You want to seek and hold on to heavenly things that will never decay. God's unchanging hand. Hold on to that. When your journey is completed, when we're going to hear the conclusion of the whole matter, when God brings everything into judgment, every work into judgment, you better be holding to God's unchanging hand. Because if you do that, your home will be in glory. Well, let's look at this. When we think about this and holding to God's unchanging hand and the importance of that, how important that is, God, our Father, has made this so simple. And I'm hoping this will be simple and yet strong enough to get you to be thinking about the conclusion of your life and the conclusion of the whole matter. And when you stop and think about it, you only need to conclude three things. Three things. One, you're a sinner. Two, God's love, it's always been to save you. And three, God's plan God's love was poured out, rather. God's plan is there to save you. Just three simple things. And so we want to look at this today as we go through this. You're a sinner. And you know it. I'm not being facetious. You know you're a sinner. And it doesn't matter if you believe the Bible or not. You know you're a sinner if you lie. Have you ever lied? Sure you have. You know you're a sinner if you've lusted in your heart for some other individual. That's called sin. If you chose as a Christian to miss worship for some reason, maybe you're... I've heard people say, well, Dave, we didn't come today because my family came over. Really? So you didn't want to invite your family? And even if you didn't, you leave your family at home, you say, look, you stay here if you don't want to come, fine, but I'm going to go worship God. That's sin. To say I didn't come to worship on Sunday because of the ball game or because of some form of entertainment, that's sin. If you're too tired to get up in the morning, not counting, you know, things that happen like unexpected, or if you're working and you don't get off in time to get some rest, but if you just stay up too late playing cards with your friends, that's sin. And because of sin, you need to consider or conclude to make your heart right with God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Every person who reaches the age of understanding, or some people call it accountability, will come to that place in life where they become a sinner. Sin is a transgression, simple, of God's law. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It's very clear. Every person on earth that is of that age and can understand the difference between right and wrong someday transgresses against God's law. And when we think about that, to sin is simply to miss the mark. It means that God's pointed you the right way to go, and we miss. James said that best in James chapter 4 and verse 17. James says that whoever, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. It's simple. If you know that what you should do and you just choose not to do it, it's sin. See, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Because we've all done that. Sin separates us from God. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15. Man was created without sin, Ezekiel says. Think about that. That's that perfect example that tells us that we're not born sinners. When you look at that verse, Ezekiel 28 and 15, think about what he said. He said, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till. There's a point in time where it changed, till iniquity was found in you. You're a sinner. You can't get away from it. And even though you're being separated because of your sin, it's not because of God. It isn't God that's causing all the problems. When we look at Isaiah chapter 59, 1 and 2, what does he say? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he can't save. His ear that he is not heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you. It's you choosing to ignore the conclusion, the obvious conclusion. And then, of course, the wages of sin. What happens if you choose not to obey God this day, right now? What if you just continue in your heart saying there is no God, or you continue saying I don't need this, or maybe you might be saying I don't sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, if a man says that there is no sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. If you say there is no sin, you know, life just goes on, there's no sin, you're a liar. God said so. God can't lie. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, He says that if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word is not in us. The wages of sin are death. James says in James chapter 1, 14 and 15, he says, every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, there's a conclusion. When lust comes to a conclusion, right? Lust brings forth sin and sin death. We're all falling under the same category. I am a sinner. And I pray to God, saved by the blood of Christ. But I'm a sinner. And I need to walk carefully in life. And for me to say I've never sinned or I'm not a sinner, listen. The desire for evil will lead us down that wrong road until sin continues to grow in us. Even though we're living in a times, when you think about it, where sin is looked upon by man as not being so bad, or maybe there is no sin at all, or even sin is desirable today, it's still sin. We know what Isaiah 5 and 20 says, right? Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, exchange darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's the world that we live in today. You just stop and think about it. When I was this big, they started a program, and it was called PG-13. Was a movie I wasn't allowed to go see. You know, actually it was PG. You weren't allowed to go see it. And then the sin kept creeping in, and then it went to PG-13. And so now you can go see that if you're 13. And then in PG-16 and 18. Who knows where they've gone with this? But those old movies that used to be PG, right? The movies you go see today that are called PG are filthy. People are calling evil good all the time. And it is sin. Well, what have you done about it? I want you to think about that. What have you done about sin? What have you concluded when it comes to sin? Well, let me give you some options here. Have you ever thought about the fact that God in heaven concluded that He wanted to save you? And that's why He sent His only begotten Son into the world. The conclusion is that God gave His only begotten Son, that if you just believe in Him, you would never perish. You'd have everlasting life. Believing in God's Son, Jesus. Countless of millions of people hold up banners and signs, John 3:16, all the time. And still millions recite it all the time. But you know what the problem is? That there are few who will actually accept what it really does mean. Whosoever believeth. So Jesus said, this do. And people say, well, you know, you're pretty dogmatic. You know they're talking to Jesus, right? What's it mean to believe? In Hebrews chapter 11, 6, we're told that it's impossible, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When we talk about John 3:16, you have to include all of those precepts. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, you look at that. Paul says that you heard this before the word of truth. You heard it in the word of truth. It came from here, which has come to you how? The same as it has in all the world. We know what God did for us. We know that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Matthew 6:33. The problem is that people read Matthew 6:33, seek God first. Right? and all his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Well, they don't want to seek God. They just want all the things. That's what happens. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you will be filled. People don't want to hunger and thirst. You don't want to sit down and take time to be righteous and seek it out of the Word of God that was poured out for us. They just want to be filled. And there's a problem. You know, it's just like the politics of our time, the promises that are made from free everything, free work, free no effort, no nothing, free housing, free food, free medical care, free car, free television. It's all free, free child care. Somebody has to pay the price. And for your soul, the conclusion is God had to pay the price. And He did. Love was expressed while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. Christ died for us. He demonstrated that love to us. Wow. So both God and Christ paid enormous prices. The Father sent the Son. That was a cost to Him. And the Son gave His life upon the cross. That was a cost, His blood. What's the conclusion? You can be saved by that blood. And when we think about that, concluding the love of God has shown towards us should cause us to want to make our lives right in His sight. I mean, if you just, like the definition, you just take all the facts and bring them together and come to a proper conclusion. You need to be intelligent enough to understand and to bring it all together and conclude something. What's dangerous is not coming to a conclusion. What's dangerous is just ignoring all the facts and just saying, it's out there, that's fine, but it's not for me. That's where the danger is. That doesn't work in your job. It doesn't work in your family. It doesn't work in life. And it does not work. We have to come to conclusions. That's only reasonable. And when you think about that, think about cause and effect. Cause and effect. You know, I hit a ball, the ball moves. I yell at my wife, she gets hurt. Right? I mess around with a table saw, I lose a finger. There's always cause and effect. No matter how you look at it. So, when we think of concluding the matter of God's love that was poured out for us in His Son Jesus, the rule, cause and effect. What? Romans 6:6. Because He gave His life for us, what's the effect? We should no longer live as slaves to sin. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. Because we're free as Christians, we should serve in newness of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6. Because of His love, we should no longer lust after evil things. It's just a conclusion. 2 Corinthians 1:9, because of all had to have the sentence of death, we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. It's just obvious conclusions. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, because He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's our goal. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 10, because He died for us, whether we're awake or asleep, whether you're alive or dead, we should live together with Him. Just conclusions. That's what we want to do. So you think about those things and conclude something else, that Jesus died for sinners. That's one of the things that's obvious. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus was concerned for you. He cared about you. He came to seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 19 and in verse 10. That's what Jesus did. That's why He came. He came. to save you. And I want you to think about that. Paul told us in Corinthians that Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3. There's a conclusion there. This Son of God who came down from glory, He gave Himself. He gave all of Himself. He poured Himself out. He loved me so much that He was willing to die for me, for my sins. And that's what the Bible teaches. What's the conclusion? In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, you can hear Jesus was made a little bit lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was crowned with glory and honor. And by grace, the grace of God, He tasted death for everyone. What's the conclusion? He loved me. Nobody does that for me if they don't love me. Why would they do that? Remember, Solomon said, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Jesus did not die for a pre-selected few people. He died for whosoever. That's you, me, everyone here. And He did that so that we might have the right to be saved. The love that He had for mankind. Ephesians 5:25, He gave Himself. And then we conclude this, that God, You must make your heart right with God. That's what we conclude. From all these things, we should just simply, we're sinners, we know it. Christ died for us, we know it. We should come to a conclusion. And we should stop ignoring the facts. And the conclusion is pretty straightforward. We hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. God doesn't miraculously, we talked about this morning, He doesn't miraculously fill people up with faith. Faith is produced when you read and study God's Word, when you hear His Word being spoken, taught, or preached. God said of Jesus, "This is My beloved Son, hear Him." So we have to hear the Word. And the Word is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. In the gospel, and that is by which we are saved. 1 Corinthians 15:12. We're saved by the gospel, by the Word. That's the conclusion. And we're also have to conclude that we have to have faith in Christ and in God. And that faith should move us. Again, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible without faith to please God. And we know what faith is because we just studied that. We need to know so that we can conclude. Jesus said in John 8:24, you'll die in your sins if you don't believe that I am He. We have to conclude something from that. Every case of a conversion involved this, folks believing in the Lord. You read all through the book of Acts, they believed and they were baptized, everyone. That should make you come to a conclusion. Well, what do I have to do? It's pretty simple. You just heard the conclusion of that whole matter. Repentance is important. Acts chapter 17:30 tells us that how important that repentance is. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Matthew 21:28-30, Jesus, you know, what do you think? A man had two sons, and the first son went away, and he was told to work, and he said no. And the second son went, and he was told to work, he said yes. But then that first son, he changed his mind, he came back, and he repented. That's the example. And we conclude from that as being a good thing, that he came back. And that's what we need to do. All right, so confession is something that we need to conclude. That's something that the Scripture tells us we must do. Therefore, whoever confesses Me before men, Jesus said, him also I will confess before My Father. What's the conclusion? If I don't confess, before men. I won't be confessed before the Father. Pretty simple conclusion. I mean, it's not rocket science. And you'll note that the confession is made of one's faith in Christ as the Son of God, not a confession of our sins. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 is a good example of that. That Ethiopian eunuch, he answered the question when he was told that he had to believe. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Godly sorrow brings about repentance. And that stems from the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Baptism is a natural conclusion. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. How can we come to any other conclusion? And yet the whole world out there comes to a different conclusion. How do they do that? And let me tell you that if you can answer that question, if you could say to me, well, Dave, they do that because they just don't believe that. And then I would say to you, well, why haven't you believed that? I mean, that's the natural conclusion. If you understand that there's people out there that don't understand plain English, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's plain English. Who are the saved? People who believe and are baptized. What must I do to be saved? Believe and be baptized. And you say, Dave, well, I understand that, and I know why. People just, they just don't accept it. Have you been baptized? Have you come to the right conclusion in your own life? Baptism, repentance, faith, all necessary. It's obvious conclusion. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4 teaches us that baptism is a burial, a death and burial, and then you're being raised up to walk in newness of life. The obvious conclusion is that in baptism, I'm renewed, restored to relationship with God. We need to be like that Ethiopian eunuch. When Acts chapter 8, verse 36, he concluded from Paul's preaching that he needed to be baptized. He says, there's water, what hinders me? What stops me? What holds me back from being baptized? He came to a natural conclusion. He heard all the facts, came to a conclusion. Why not be baptized to make your heart right with God? Why wouldn't you do that? And now if you do that, let's just say we did that. Okay? Many of us here today are baptized believers. We're in Christ. We've obeyed the gospel. We're faithful. We're here tonight. Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus said, count the cost. In other words, it doesn't end there. And what we want to say, it requires faithful living. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 tells us they remained steadfast in the doctrine. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. You see that? Steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Can't beat that. In Romans 6, 4, they walked in a newness of life. They came to a conclusion that I need to change. And with God's help, they can. In Acts 11, 26, they were called Christians. They got this name that they were wearing very proudly. But this whole thing about this faith requires holding on to the righteous hands of God. That's the conclusion. Think about what Paul told the young preacher in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For by grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Well, the conclusion is, if he says all men, that means me, that means you, that means everybody. It's appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and just, and godly in this present age. There's the conclusion. If I'm a Christian, I want faithful living. How should I do that? Well, I worship God as I'm told. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus told the woman in the well, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's written. Jesus said, it's written that you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Matthew 10, or 4 and 10. You see, that's the conclusion that Jesus came to, right in the face of the devil. That's our conclusion. And in worship, we must continue to walk in steps. 1 Corinthians 16:2, we give as we've been prospered. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we participate in the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We come to that conclusion because we study the Scriptures and rightly divide them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we pray. Matthew 28:20, and we continue to teach everything that Jesus has commanded. Ephesians 5:19, what do? We speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts. That's what we do. Come to a conclusion. What does the church do? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's simple. And when we think about that, also the work of the church. The Lord tells us very clearly that we have work to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it's very clear. Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." So there's work to do. Both the church and an individual has work to do. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, be able to teach others also. We carry the work on. The church is sufficient to do the work, but the church is us. So we conclude that we need to be doing the work. We need to make our heart right with God. That's what we need to do. Is your heart right with God? Well, let's hear the conclusion of this message. Now that you've heard, now that you've learned, you need to make your heart right with God. That's the natural conclusion. Everything that has been said here came from here. I pray the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. We just read His commandments to hear and believe, right? And to repent and to confess and to be baptized and to live and work in His kingdom. That's the whole matter. Is your heart right with God? And if not, we encourage you to take that step right now. Take care now. Make your heart right with God. For it is written, in an acceptable time I have heard, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 14, it says, the Lord has sought. I want you to tell me if you don't know what that word means. Raise your hand. Anybody here not know what sought means? I didn't think so. He sought for himself a man after his own heart. An example of that was King David. And King David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. See, David came to the right conclusion. We need that new heart, that clean heart. Our heart has to be right with God. Well, I hope this helped tonight, and I hope that your heart can indeed be right with God. And if there's anything that we can do to help you in that venue, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.